That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again.
Good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, June 4th. May has already gone, and here we are in June. Live program this morning. We thank you for joining us, and we've got the men on with us. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And Tim, good morning. Thanks for joining us from Nebraska.
Good morning.
And good morning. To the Remnant out there, we thank you for joining us from sea to shining sea. Phone lines are open. It's a live program this morning, but we're going to open up with prayer. And Jason, I'll turn that over to you, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, and we just give you thanks and praise for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Father, we pray on the full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm, and we just ask, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us. Continue to shine your face down upon us, and Father, and allow us to be a blessing to you, and bless your name, and praise you for all the many awesome works that you do. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
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 Well, guys, plenty going on, but I don't have much of a voice, so I'll kind of back up just and plan on hosting if the calls come in, and we'll get you guys to carry it this morning, if that works. And so, Jason, Tim, we'll have you take it away.
Yeah, Tim, I was going to see, what did you have anything in your neck of the woods that you wanted to talk about?
Well, you know, fuel prices are up, food prices are up. There's a whole lot of stuff going on there, and people are a little bit... people are really kind of on edge. Like we've said before, they're listening and they're looking. But it kind of occurred to me that we're back to those choices, you know. And choices are easy, choices are hard sometimes. I mean, some choices are easy. Do you want $100 in 20s or in a $100 bill? You know, that's not a hard choice. But then there's ones that are a lot more, you know, life-changing and life-altering and long-range. And I was just, it occurred to me that, you know, Joshua 24:15, he said, you know, serve the gods that came before the flood, or the gods that came after the flood, or I mean, the God of this world, you know, that brought you through the flood. And that might be a hard choice for some people, but it doesn't really matter, because it, Matthew 5:45 says that, you know, it rains on the just and the unjust. And I think that a lot of times we factor into our choices things that aren't a factor, you know. And I think that God isn't necessarily picking on the just or those that are doing their best to serve him. It's more about the other side of the coin, those who choose to serve those evil gods, and he's putting it on. And I think that we're the witnesses, and he talks about the witness, you know, that witnesses his power. And I think a lot of times we see that. If we choose God, he has more than enough power and more than enough ability and grace and love and kindness toward his own people to bring us through. I mean, it talks about him leaving the sheepfold, you know, to do that. And I think when we look at the power that they're flexing, there is no doubt they're trying to be gods. I think we've got a lot. The choices that occurred to me was just like the shooting down there in Texas. And I had somebody call me last night. It's kind of what put me on this train of thought. But they were like, well, you know, they're trying to take guns again. And he was all worked up about it. And I was like, that's a choice. They're trying to get people to choose to give up their ability to defend their families and their homes and themselves and take care of that kind of stuff. And God told us not to. So I think a lot of times when we look at that, what we're seeing there is the fact that if you choose that, you get what you choose. You know, what the choice is you made. So weigh it carefully and make a good choice. But the evil ones are asking you to choose, you know, a path that is not good and will create strife. And it just amazes me the accuracy in the Bible. He said they, you know, gender strife, and we're seeing that kind of stuff go on all the way around us, I think, right now. But God can bring us through. So on a positive note, I mean, so a lot of times we talk about the things that are going on out there in the world, and it can be perceived as a negative, but if you choose not to make it a negative, and if you choose to see it as the power of God reasoning with those, and God gives us a choice too. So isn't that a wonderful thing that we have a choice? I mean, that's kind of where I got.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, as we talk about things that are, you know, our change in fuel prices, this and that, you know, it's, you know, some people go into survival mode, and, you know, there's going to be two types of people. People that, well, there's going to be more than that, but there's going to be the people that just go into survival mode and try not to go anywhere, try not to spend any more, try to eat less food, try to conserve what they have. There's going to be those that it just really don't care and don't pay attention, and, you know, to depend on the government. There's going to be people that, you know, just make up their mind. It's like, okay, I got to make more money. I got to prosper more. I've got to be smart about this, and I've got to figure this game out. And everybody has a different part in, you know, this circle of life that we have. You know, you've got the worker bees, you've got the honey bees, you've got the you've got different roles and different parts that people play in what is going on. And it's important to listen to the Holy Spirit and pray and seek His face and ask what you're supposed to be doing. I know I've talked to a lot of people, and it's like, you know, can you tell somebody that they're making the wrong decision? Well, yes, you can if it's against the Word of God. But if it's not, then maybe that's what they're being told to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's all kinds of God brings us all kinds of things. You know, he fleshes the whole picture out all the time. I mean, you know, my dad used to say, if everybody was a carpenter, why, who would saw the wood? You know, I mean, or who would grow the food? I mean, the Bible likens God's kingdom to a body. You have a hand and a finger and a toe and a leg, and each one has its own unique function, and the body can't work without that, which is part of the reason that, you know, and it said it, the Bible tells us not to look down our nose at the lesser parts. You know, so the body needs an armpit too. It has a function. So it's a whole thing. So I think that we need to realize that we're all part of God's, or not all of us, but all of those who choose to be are part of God's kingdom. And when we're part of God's kingdom, why, He has a place and a job for us. And there's things that go on all around us in this physical realm that are, you know, maybe not nice, maybe not convenient, maybe not, but hey, God's got this, you know. I mean, I think that's where our faith comes in, and that's where our choice comes in. And he's got this. They can't win, and they're not gonna win. And I'm amazed at the amount of things that they pull out. One of the things that I was looking at recently was this Schumann. It's called Schumann resonance. We talked about it a little bit the other night, but it is the Earth's, you know, geomagnetic or vibration rate. It's it normally is a normal balanced one is 7.83 megahertz is what it is, and when it's balanced like that, why, you feel normal. I mean, if it goes higher, you get euphoric, and if it goes lower, you get depressed, and it can affect your blood pressure, and it affects your body, and it affects your mind. And the Bible talks about it, and I don't have the passage right now, but the Bible talks about the earth crying out about the way it was used. So and I think that this is probably part of that voice of the earth situation. But there seems to be some connection that they've been talking about with this Hadron Collider, CERN, or whatever that they're running. Whenever they fire it up, it drives the Schumann resonance down, which creates depression and all that kind of stuff, and creates health concerns. And, you know, they're trying to play God. But the thing is it always goes back to 7.83 megahertz. I mean, they can do different things for a day or for an hour or for a minute or whatever, but God still rules. And I don't even think, I think that goes back to that raining on the just and the unjust. He doesn't necessarily have to just reach out and readjust it. He set it up so that it takes care of itself. You know, spring follows winter, and summer follows spring, and so on and so forth. I mean, that's the way God set it up, and it says it will be that way, you know. So those things are they think they're so smart and that they can control this or they can control that, but they really can't. You know, they can tug on the wheel of the car, but God's driving, you know. So it's like they're just a pothole. You know, it's like, so I think that, you know, we need to just laugh at them a little bit and realize our God is in control and have a little bit of joy. So,
amen, Tim. You know, I think that's where that faith comes in, that you know, the remnant has such a great opportunity today. And how many times have we had people say, even on this program, whether it's been Zach or Josh or others, that how much easier it is to talk with people about biblical things today. Because like you mentioned early on, you know, people are looking, people are listening because the food prices are up 60%, because the fuel prices have doubled in the last 2 years. You know, because the world events, they're catching people's attention. And what a, you know, if we look at it the right way, what an opportunity, an opportunity that it is for the remnant to be able to share the gospel plan of salvation, to be able to share with people who they are, and the responsibility that carries, and the things that are going on that you can read of, whether it's in the Old Testament, you know, of what happened when the kings did right versus when they did wrong, or in the new, when, you know, when Jesus told us how things were going to be. But it is, it's a good opportunity for those that that are, you know, that have said, "Here I am, Lord, use me." And it may seem that it's just, you know, everything's gone to hell in a handbasket, but I like how you put it, Tim. You know, God's still driving. Might have a pothole here and there, but he's still driving. He's still directing things. It's still his will. And we have an opportunity, opportunities like never before, to where people are more receptive to what is going on. And people are asking questions. And, you know, we have to remember that, you know, we do our best to reply to those with patience and, you know, rebuking and explaining, but with patience and with love. But these things are waking people up, that's for sure.
Well, and it's amazing how many people are talking about, you know, the mainstream media being a bunch of liars, and well, that was a lie, and well, this election was a sham, and, you know, and I had somebody talk, one of my guys was talking to me the other day here, and we were visiting, and I said, well, the Bible talked about it in John. John 8:44 says, "Ye are of your father the devil," and that's not me, by the way, that's those evil sons of hell that are out there trying to destroy everything, which is their, and, you know, "The heir of your father the devil, and less of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Those are really, seriously, I mean, it's like, it's no wonder God doesn't like lies. You know, so, I mean, when you look at it from that point of view, and that's pretty much these days, it's like they, you know, everything they say comes out of, and it's amazing to me the amount of time that between when they utter these lies and they're put to the light and to the truth fairly quickly. I mean, we're seeing that roll up there fairly fast as far as a lot of this stuff goes on, you know. Oh, no, we're not doing that. You know, the next day, there's somebody out there in not lamestream news publishing all their documents and all their, I mean, I think that, well, I don't, the internet can be a great thing or it cannot be a great thing, but I think it's interesting how many people are out there and willing to, you know, put it out. So, and I think we see a lot of, and they're worried about it. That's why they got this Ministry of Truth thing going on, and they want to, they can't spin things the way they used to and get away with it.
Right.
And, you know, you have those individuals out there their eyes aren't open, but there's more of those getting their eyes opened every day that can't.
That's right.
God calls.
That's right. More and more seeing that, you know, what's being pushed and promoted as just a random series of events is not that at all. Two of the shootings that occurred, the one up in Buffalo where you have an 18-year-old that drives 2 hours to shoot up a black grocery store with an AR-15, and then down in Texas where you have an 18-year-old that drives his almost brand new F-250 truck with a couple of high-dollar AR-15s to go shoot up a school. And it's tragic that those things have happened, but what are the odds of a couple of 18-year-olds doing that within 10 days of each other? One of the things I've talked with a couple people about that Texas shooting, how does an 18-year-old that's unemployed, you know, nobody's come up and said, yeah, I worked with him at Safeway or Subway or, you know, when he worked with me at the auto parts store, nothing like that's come up. Because he didn't have a job. So he's 18 years old, living at home, but he's got a two-year-old F-250, $60,000 truck, and he's got, you know, a couple of AR-15s and body armor and ammo and all that. How?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody asks that question, you know?
You look at that and then the reports. I mean, and all the reports are so different. I mean, there's parents that were handcuffed. There was parents that were tased. There's a lot of eyewitnesses that say that that he was outside driving around shooting for over an hour before he went into the school.
I heard that too.
You know, and even the police department, they're coming out. Oh yeah, well we should have handled things different, this and that. They've got, you know, and then they completely shut down, and then they just won't talk to anybody, and they won't respond, and everything like that. So it's just a mess. It was a setup deal, but you know, one thing that we know that our enemies are trying to do is you know, their gun control agenda, you know, and you know, it's you know, communist is what it is, and you know, a lot of people, if you go get right down to it, are supporting communism right now. I've been reading you know, personal reports on what people are thinking and what people are wanting to do in different parts of the country, and including Wyoming, Colorado, Nebraska. There is a huge amount of people, individuals, that are calling for more gun control. And they're saying that, you know, nobody needs an AR-15, nobody needs a semi-automatic. Nobody at 18 years old should be able to buy an assault rifle. You know, if you have to be 21 to buy a pistol, why do you have to be 20? Why don't you have to be 21 to buy an AR-15? I mean, it's... you know, and the mindset of the people is, you know, it's the indoctrination tube that's getting to them. And people are getting indoctrinated by what they're watching on TV. And they're, you know, it's spellcasting. You know, Dad had it right. He talked about it for a long time, the spellcasting that's coming over America. And, I mean, it's right before our eyes. You know, the media, the false media, that's one of the big things that I think that Trump did when he was in office is call out the fake news. You know, tell them for what they were, because he sure did a good job of that. And you know, people need to remember that, hey, that fake news is still there. There's a reason that you know, the Bible calls them scribes and Pharisees, and you know, they've continued their work on since the times. Beware of the scribes and Pharisees. That's what we were warned to do, and we still need to be warned of them and what they're doing. And it's false fake news. It used to be that you thought when you watched something on the news that they tried to report facts. Now it's just a fictitious bunch of BS for the most part.
It is.
Facts. They
are.
Yeah, they don't even bother to the facts or you know, things that go into it to make it up. It's just what somebody else said about what somebody else said. And, it, you know, the whole business with the fuel prices and with everything else, to a thinking man, you look at it and go, well, let's see. A few months ago, we were one of the largest exporters of fuel in the world. Today, because of the Ukraine, which I've never heard of getting fuel from the Ukraine anyways, now food prices are up and fuel prices are up and everything else is up. And that's part of that indoctrination in the schools. People who swallow that lie, they've been indoctrinated to the point that they can no longer... I mean, really, that's pretty simple math, if you just want to call it that. That's kind of what I call, you know, like, well, what does this have to do with that? And those two things, yeah, we see. But to those who do have eyes to see and ears to hear, or are trying to get there, why, they come away with some pretty serious eye-opening questions. And I just talked to a guy on Memorial Day, and he was like, well, you know, I used to think that the public education system was a good thing. He said, I really did. I thought, well, everybody should. But he goes, I've come to the conclusion that they're just indoctrinating people, you know. And when you've been there for a long time, you know, sometimes well, okay, yeah, I'm glad you're on board. But, you know, praise God that people are waking up.
That's right.
People are starting. Question things. I mean, it's wonderful. And you know, to those of you who have had your eyes open for, oh, I don't know, maybe 50 years, why, be patient with them. Bring them along, you know, try to get them up to speed. Don't scoff at them, and don't make them feel like they're you know, incompetent or incapable, because that's God calling those people. And you know, pray for them and help them out. I mean, that's why they're talking to you, is because God sent them there. You know, so it's a calling, and so I think that a lot of times we lose sight of that when we get kind of down and discouraged when we shouldn't. It's like, well, hey, here's an opportunity. You know, I mean, that to help another one find out what's going on. So.
Amen. Had the opportunity last a week ago today. My son and I went up to Casper. Former President Trump had a rally up there, and so we got to go up and Jason, just like you said, one of the things, like him or not, but one of the things that he exposed was the fake news. And he still calls a spade when it comes to that. You know, he took the stage and he looks across the floor, and on the other end of the floor last week was the media setup. You know, they're doing interviews and they've got their cameras. And he said, oh, there's the media, huge media presence, he says. Look at them down there, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, everybody's there. And he said, fake news, every bit of it. And he called it out again. Because the people are seeing that, you know, they are, and that's one of the things that he's doing.
Yeah, fake news and, you know, false media and censorship. And you know, people talk about, okay, you know, what if they're trying to censor this and they're trying to censor that? No, they're not. They're done trying. They've been done doing it.
They are doing it.
People need to understand that. You know, I mean, and it's like, and I remember talking to Dad about this years ago before he died, about how, you know, even the internet was a catch-22. It could be used for good and for evil, you know, and there was things. I mean, we used the internet for broadcasting, for uplinks, for satellite, for sending audio out, for people being able to attend church, you know, but at the same time, it's got another side to it that you can use it just equally for as much evil, you know. And that goes back to, you know, we've got right and wrong, we've got left and right, and we've got you know, people. We was talking with a guy yesterday that you know, he was talking about, oh, these are the end times, and he was just down in the dumps and doom and gloom, and you know how horrible things are. We've got to just be in the end times. And And, you know, I told him, I said, hey, I said, I've been hearing this my whole life.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what people have been saying. And I told him, I said, frankly, I'm just tired of hearing it. You know, I'm going to survive. I'm going to do the best. I'm going to smile at the future. And I'm going to do the absolute best that I can, even if it means working harder. You know, and he's like, well, you know, what about this abortion legislation that's going through and this and that? And they're trying to, you know, they're just, you know, they're killing babies right before our eyes. And they've been doing that for a long time. You know, the truth of the matter is, and, you know, he was talking about, you know, the churches that, you know, are saying that the churches that are fighting against it, this church is fighting against it, this church isn't fighting against it, this, you know, and this and that. And I, you know, I told him, I said, well, what about, you know, why aren't the churches talking about the root of the problem, and that's premarital sex, fornication, adultery, because 99% of those abortions start off with sin, either in fornication or adultery.
Good
so what point. Is, but people want to talk about the abortions is the bad part, and don't get me wrong. The child shouldn't have to pay, but it originated with another sin.
Yeah. It was the wages of sin, right? Yeah, and it perpetuates.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not for abortion by any means. I think it's horrible. I think it's taken a human life, and I believe that life begins at conception. But it started with another type of sin. So that's what, you know, and if you let yourself, a person's attitude, right now people need to watch their attitudes because they can get sucked into this doom and gloom part, and they can want to go into their house and hide and not come out and just not want to do anything. You know, we've got a duty as Christians. We've got to be Christian soldiers, and being a Christian soldier isn't for everybody. I mean, there's like we were talking earlier, there is different roles. But people need to be positive. They need to continue on. They need to know who's in control. They need to know that, you know, he makes the sun rise and the sunset every single day. And he's still in control. And if he's in control and he's driving the bus, then it's still a good day. So I just encourage people to really try to be positive. Smile. Think of the things that you have and the things that you have to be grateful for. And, you know, one of the things that Dad taught me, that was one of those lessons that's a hard lesson, and I think it's a lesson that everybody goes through life learning, and I don't know if anybody ever actually attains it, but being able to be thankful for the trials and tribulations that come in your life, being thankful for that, being thankful that you have something to overcome. I remember that on his Overcomer series, one of the most important, and I think about it often, and I know a lot of other people do too, but, you know, he talked and he got up there and he went around with his tape recorder and at a camp conference and was asking people, what is the first thing to be in an overcomer? And he had all these sound clips of different people's and different people's answers, and he played them from the pulpit. And everybody was wrong, and he said, you know, the first thing that you have to do to become an overcomer is have something to overcome. And you can't be an overcomer without having to have something to overcome. And that was the point of that part of that series. And, you know, it was profound. It was simple, but it was profound. And, you know, a lot of people right now, they want to look at the problem. Well, if you take that and don't call it a problem and don't put it in the category of a problem, but put it in the category of I have something to overcome or I have something that I can do, now I've got a challenge, and just say challenge accepted, let's do this, it will change your complete outlook on everything.
Amen. That's really a really good point. I mean, that's an epic point because it will. And it also turns on the power of God when you say that you're going to overcome it. And, you know, by God's power, I'm going to overcome it. You know? And that's an activation protocol for invoking the power of God over your life and over the situation of events that are there. And he won't fail you.
Yeah, you know, and I've been spending a lot of times in Psalms lately, and Psalms 18:2 is one that just popped out at me recently, and it's just, you know, it's a powerful, uplifting scripture for me, and I hope it is for somebody else, but it says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And, you know, that we need to walk in that and believe it and know it. And, you know, not just because, you know, we might be going through something. I mean, think about David and Goliath. You know, think about some of these stories of some of the warriors that we had in the Christian soldiers of the Bible times and what they had to face. And put it in perspective to the things that you might be dreading or belly aching about, and you know, think about it. I mean, God delivered them. God can deliver you through what you're going through.
Amen. When you read through that Faith Hall of Fame, it's that way. Every one of those that are mentioned had just like you said, Jason, had something to overcome. They had to overcome. They had to endure. And it tells us, if you read through that in Hebrews 11, then, you know, in Hebrews 12, it lets us know that God disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. Verse 11 of Hebrews 12, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And that's what, you know, we're told to overcome. We're told that, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And if you don't have opportunities to overcome things, if you don't have challenges to face, you really don't have... you know, that testimony, you really don't. But when you have endured, when you have gone through things, and trusted in him, you know, we are, it's for our discipline. It's for our learning. And then not for us only, but so that we can share. If you keep reading there in Hebrews 12, you know, it talks about strengthen the hands that are weak and help those and that are not always just in need and sick, but that need to understand that endurance. You know, like that with overcoming. I remember asking a person one time and explaining that to them about, you know, hey, you have to have something to overcome is the most important part of being an overcomer. And they just did not get it at all. Just had no understanding of it. But great, great concept. And we have that Overcomer series if that's something that you're interested in, folks. But when these things are just like the trials we have today, you know, whether it's sickness or loss of a job or, you know, fuel prices doubling, these things are, you know, we are being established, we're being perfected, we're being strengthened, so our faith is increased, and so that, like we've talked about earlier, that we have the opportunity and the wherewithal to be able to share his goodness and have that word of testimony to share with others.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm reminded of those Bible, I call them heroes, that Jason was talking about. And, you know, those guys, some of them went willingly, not that they didn't err and weren't human or perfect, but, you know, you had David and Gideon and Jonah and Paul and Moses, and some of them kind of went along dragging their feet. You know, I mean, Moses was like, oh, no, I can't speak, and I can't. And at every one of those, you know, hesitancies, God provided an answer. He said, okay, well, Aaron's going to speak for you. And, you know, and Jonah said, no, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not going to talk. Well, you know, God's like, yeah, you are. You know, that God chooses sometimes, too. And I think that's the other thing that we fail to realize. It's not all about you. It's all, sometimes it's, well, it's always about God. And sometimes you're not, well, which do you want to do? It's like, well, you already chose this, and now you're going to do that. No, I don't want to. Yeah, you are. Or, you know, or a great fish is going to swallow you, and you can lay in his belly if you change your mind. But, you know, and the in the course of those tribulations, those choices aren't always easy. But in the courses of those men's tribulations, as they were being taught, other people were taught from it, too, to this day. I mean, we look back at those and gain insight into, you know, all of those situations. Samson's another one that comes to mind. You know, don't make those, don't make that bad choice. Choose somebody from your own family or from your own tribes, you know, and nope, he wouldn't listen. And, you know, he did great things in the name of God, but he also, we learned about the fact that your choices can be your undoing if you're not careful. And, I think that, you know, when we look at it that way, it's we need to stop and think about what we're overcoming and who we're overcoming it for, and also remember the fact that there's children watching that are going to grow as a result of the things that you go through or the choices you make, and that there's other people watching. You know, and that it's for the glory of God's kingdom, not for your comfort all the time. And I think sometimes that's where we fall down. We just want to, you know, one of the forefathers said that he who desires only safety and security deserves and freedom. They don't deserve any of it. You know, it's like we, and it's not an untrue statement. I mean, some things don't go with other things, but they're of a higher degree. You know, and when we look at it like that, it can change your outlook. It can change your attitude, and it is a matter of overcoming things. And sometimes you have to overcome yourself. You know, it's like you know, if you've been programmed for failure, go ahead, Jason.
No, that's a good point. I mean, some of the biggest challenges that we have is things that we've made up in our mind that might not be true, or we have to change our mind, or we have to change our way of thinking. And we can talk ourselves out of doing some of this stuff, or facing some of the things that you know that maybe we don't want to face, or we don't want to do, or you know, I just can't do it. I mean, people need to really watch what comes out of their mouth, but sometimes they can be their own worst enemy.
Yep, exactly. So, and how often have you done something in your life when you get to the other end of it, you go, well, that wasn't near as bad as I thought it was going to be. You know? Well, yeah, God's there. He's listening. He wants to, and he wants the good things for us, but sometimes you got to do a little bit of, it requires some effort, you know, so, and I think it's that way in our whole life. I think that, and people just get a little bit depressed about it, you know, and they get kind of down and you know, weary and yet pursuing. I mean, don't forget the pursuing part, you know, rest, rise up in the morning. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll be glad and rejoice in it and move out. You know, it's one of those things where we have a duty and a calling. I mean, Paul was always that way to me, because Paul considered himself dead in the Bible, you know, because of all the murders that he had committed and everything else. And he was given a day pass from God to go out there and do that. And man, he took it to the limit. You know, I mean, you want to talk about somebody who was trying to make up for lost time. Wow. So, when you look at some of that kind of stuff, you know, we need that kind of attitude too. We were dead without Christ. So we have this, you're getting a second chance. Take advantage of it.
Right.
So, I always like the message that Peter brought where he talked about jobs in the kingdom, you know, and, well, you can do nothing. Maybe you'll just be a trash collector, you know. Yeah, I'm redeemed and I'm a member, but, you know, that's good enough. Well, fine. Then don't complain when you're, but if you want the best job, if you want the, it requires effort here too, because God's keeping score. So you might want to work at it like it matters. So I think that a lot of times we forget that or lose sight of it in the course of daily events. And we don't realize that daily events are the events that he's talking about. You know, we have people who stand there who are, we're talking about overcoming. We have people who sit around and look for some major thing to overcome, some huge thing. And again, we're back to different things in God's way of doing things. Some people's overcoming event for the day is getting out of bed at 7 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? Those sort of things. I mean, we're all called to different exercises or different levels of strength. And, you know, so some people are just waiting for some incredible event to, and it's like, well, you haven't trained yourself. You haven't built any endurance. You haven't built any, I mean, these little things add up to big things. You know, if you want to, if you're excited about it and you want to overcome those, then start overcoming the things in your life that are the small things that you overcome. And don't just throw them on the pile, on the refuse pile out there, because you don't have to put out any effort.
Yeah, amen. You know, David is a perfect example of that. He had prepared, you know, to face Goliath by all the things that he had done when he was obedient as a youth out in the, with the boring job of watching the sheep, of tending the sheep. You know, day after day, week after week, month after month, you know, how boring that more than likely was. Oh, sure, had some excitement in there, you know, when the wolf or the lion came by and he took care of them. But he was obedient in those little things. And that prepared him for greater things for God. Like you said, Tim, I think there's so many people that are like, well, I'm ready to, you know, I'm ready to face the governor, or I'm ready to, you know, do this high and mighty and great thing. And you have to do the little things first. You have to be found faithful in the little before you're given the opportunity for the big. And anyway, you know, like the story of Naaman the leper, like the person told him, wouldn't you know, if the prophet told you to do this great thing, climb this high mountain and go, you know, do this great quest, would you have done it? And it's like, well, sure. Well, do the simple. You know, you got to start with the simple. And and like we read in Hebrews, that, you know, we have to take the small disciplines and the small corrections and practice those things, and that prepares us for what's coming tomorrow.
That's right. What's going on out there, Jason? Anything interesting?
Oh, same old, it seems like. I mean, just, you know, it's an exciting time of year. Plants are growing. We did have a late frost, snow this year that killed a lot of tomato plants and pepper plants, but thankfully we didn't have all of them in the ground. Had extras. You know, this is a good time of year, busy time of year. You know, planting pastures and seeding, and, you know, it's cover crops in, getting ready. I mean, just, you know, spring, summer's coming. Summer's here, basically. It started off as just some really strange weather. I mean, we had late snows, and then we've had drought, and then we've had rain. But lately, we've been blessed with a lot of really good rain.
Yes.
And so that's nice. Everything's greening up really good. One of the things that I've just noticed is there's a lot of people that are just getting back into their communities, wanting to support their local communities in a lot of areas. Farmers markets are growing like crazy. They're having more of those all the time. There's new people that are showing up to purchase stuff there. There's new people that are showing up to sell stuff there. And, you know, somebody might be just doing potatoes or radishes or something like that. But, you know, they're trying different things. They're trying to do a good job at it. People are looking to healthy alternatives. And, you know, I really think that, you know, it's people are going to these farmers markets and stuff, trying to spend money on it because they're concerned about their health. And they know that they can get a better product. They're looking for healthy options to take care of themselves. And, you know, people need to be doing that. You know, so much of the stuff that is to pick up in the grocery store, you just have no idea where it came from or what it is or what kind of chemicals they put into it. And people are becoming aware of that and, you know, trying to do something different. And at the same time, people are trying to do something and trying to grow stuff, get their hands in the dirt and growing fruits and vegetables and plants and herbs and spices. And, you know, that's always exciting to see. And we're seeing a lot of it here. I talked to somebody called me the other day, somebody that I haven't talked to that before, but they had got that vertical veg book that we sell, and new book. I haven't read that book. I skimmed it, talked to the publishing company. They were telling me about it, and I said, let's do it. So they sent it to me. But it was, you know, they were all excited about this book and how great it was, and, you know, said that I really needed to read this book and elaborate on it. But it's people are growing gardens in their apartments and in their condos and being creative, and you know, that's encouraging. That's breaking outside of the box. That's a form of preparing or survival. For themselves.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not just that you don't have to do that just if, you know, if or when things fall apart or if I can't go to the grocery store, but it's one of the things that, I mean, you can actually produce some really good nutrient-dense food, and it's very healthy for you. And so I see a lot of people in the health industry that are doing things like that. They're juicing, they're growing wheatgrass, they're doing things different. They're changing their diet. That is good. That's encouraging. That's something that I'm just, I see it just about everywhere I turn right now.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, wow, that's encouraging. I mean, to see people take a little bit of responsibility for their own eat, you know, and get excited about it. And, I had somebody tell me the other day, they said, well, I never liked Brussels sprouts, but I went ahead and grew some because I thought it'd be fun. And, you know, I love them now. I was like, yeah,
well,
it's
that
different. When
stuff. There's some of these vegetables that me and my brother started growing stuff heavily a couple years ago, and we put in, you know, different kinds of beets and that and everything. And we were just sitting there talking one day. He's like, well, do you like beets? I'm like, no, do you? No, I don't, but now we do. And, you know, we pickled them and we fried them and we did this and we did that and we juiced them and, I mean, all kinds of stuff with them. And just had a blast.
Yeah, that's, I can't get over how many people are like, I mean, my wife, she's did all our plant starts this year and they just went crazy. I mean, we had way more than we could use. I mean, like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do with all these? And we were giving them away to everybody because nobody could get any anyway. So I think the Lord just kind of, you know, that was a benefit from making sure that we had a way to help some from friends and neighbors, but it's like, yeah, I'll put some of those in. So I did a tutorial earlier for a friend who had never grown potatoes before, and he's all excited because his potatoes are up, you know. He's just jazzed about it, like. So it encourages, you know.
Amen. Well, guys, we're out of time. Well, thank you guys for joining us. And Remnant, we want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can go to scripturesforamerica.org. Join us Sunday morning, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central. And we'll have a little bit of everything for you. We hope you can join us. We thank you for joining us on this program here. And Remnant, know that we pray for you. We ask for your prayers as well. God bless. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rollin', 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rollin', 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rollin' over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end.